66801 or email KVOE at KVOE.com. Emporia's Radio Stations Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer.
KVOE live and local. Good morning. It is 8:24. And it's time for the ESU Buzz here this morning, brought to you by Emporia State University. Big time majors, big time experiences. Get more from your degree at ESU. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender.
Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Educated choice.
We have a way to help you manage your money and reduce fraud, and it's free. Download the Card Ballet app to your smartphone today. You can turn your ESFCU debit card on and off, limit your spending, control where your card is used, and get real-time alerts from your smartphone.
Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the educated choice.
All work and no play? No way! At Emporia State University, you'll have plenty to do on campus, in town, and all around. With over 100 student clubs, intramural teams, campus events, Hornet athletics, block parties, disc golf, live music, biking, and hiking, there's always something to do. With all that and over 200 academic programs, you're going to love ESU. Learn more and schedule your campus visit at emporia.edu/visit.
Welcome once again to the ESU Buzz, and we're very pleased to be joined on our program by Cass Copland. Cass is the Director of Residential Life at Emporia State University. Cass, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Cass.
Good morning, Ron, Chuck. I'm doing terrific.
Outstanding. No blueberries in the picture here?
You know, you say something that is very accurate, and you take an insane amount of grief about it, but that's okay. I'm glad that I brought some levity to the staff and friends and people that latched on to that. I described hail as blueberry size because there's lots of different sizes of hail.
Very true.
I can't argue with that.
Cass is referencing the storm that moved through Opie. It was on the Symphony in the Flint Hills Day, which caused the tornado warnings and dropped the blueberry-sized hail in Opie from a couple of weeks back. We're not going to be talking much more about fruits here today, Cass, because we've got residents' life to talk about and just how busy you guys have been this summer.
Yes, and well, maybe we won't talk about fruit in the food sense, but we'll talk about the fruits of labors and
Well played.
So, yes, and that was not planned, so thank you for setting that one up.
All right.
Yes, this summer we're back to pretty much our normal summer schedule. We have 17 groups who are coming here throughout the summer to engage in all sorts of different activities. We kick off with the Unbound Gravel riders and vendors and support teams. And then we'll wrap up. Our last group is a Sakai, our international group. They come from Japan, and they'll leave here in early August. So we are bookend to bookend.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Unbound and what kind of an event that is. Basically, did they take every room you had available?
They did. We had 726 registered guests. And that's a combination of riders, vendors, support teams, Lifetime, and some of their different staff and groups that support the work they do. And it's such a neat way to kick off the summer because we have these individuals come from all over the country and all over the globe. Some of them have been with us four or five, multiple times. Some it's their first, and it's just really neat to hear their perspective and their reaction, hear their stories. We had one gentleman who was here from Red Lodge, Montana, and we were talking about Yellowstone and all that, and then a week or so later, that was one of the areas that was really hit by that flooding. And so, you make these connections and you get to know people, and just a good reminder that, we're all in this together.
Now, Cass, when you have events like that that you're totally booked up there, how are you staffed?
Oh, well, we have our normal full-time staff, and it's really a neat way to experience residential life housing. We really put on kind of a different hat. We take off our student development theory hats for a little bit, and it's more about kind of a concierge and really creating a fun experience for people that are well into adulthood. And then most of our other groups and campers are high school-aged, and so we get to be kind of high school K-12 educators for a little bit and really create a good experience. But We have our normal full-time staff, and then we hire some students as summer assistants. And, some of them are student staff for us during the school year. Others just join us for summer, and they really get to have kind of a fun experience of creating signage and welcoming these different groups. Our summer staff that are dedicated to this. We also have our maintenance and custodial staff who do an awesome job of getting these rooms turned over very quickly. And there was some of our unbound gravel riders thought North and South Tower were new buildings. That's the kind of condition that our staff keep them in. And we're like, no, they're almost 50 years old now.
Nice. So I'm assuming that the process for lining up, say, a room on campus for Unbound is quite a bit different from, say, the Future Teachers Academy and TRIO programs that are essentially homegrown programs here for ESU.
It is, and this is one of my first shout-outs I want to give is to our Memorial Union staff. They really are the coordinators behind the different camps and groups, getting their numbers, getting their contracts, helping us process payment and that kind of stuff, coordinating with dining services. The Unbound Gravel Riders actually go through I'm blanking on the name of it now, but it's a website where they can go in and make their reservation and pay all that at the same time, and then our summer camps, it's more of an invoice billing where the camp coordinator works with our Memorial Union colleagues and does that.
So food services in play then up there, like during Unbound, Cass?
Food services are in play. And the Friday night, if you're ever, this past year with 726 people registered, we weren't encouraging the public to come for the Friday night meal a whole lot. But they really put out an awesome spread for the riders to get them ready to bike their 25, 50, 100, 200 miles. But then all the other camps, you have breakfast, lunch, dinner, depending on what their schedule looks like. And ESU Dining Services does an awesome job. We get really good compliments because it just removes that as something that the camp coordinators need to think about is how am I going to feed 150, 200, 300, 420 students.
Unbound, obviously, I would assume you're probably booked for next year. How early can they book for next year?
Oh, yeah, we're not quite that far out. We're not a VRBO. We don't say, like, hey, book for next year.
Not yet, anyways.
That's right. Not yet. That's a good point, Chuck. So we really follow the schedule of Unbound, and so they open up the lottery in January. So for next year, it'll be January of 2023, and then once people know that they have their golden ticket to compete in the race, that's when a couple days after that's when we open up the campus stay option. And I think this past year we were full in terms of the spaces for riders in about 20 minutes, 18 minutes, something like that. So not quite Kenny Chesney concert tickets, but we're working on it.
You're right there with Kenny, I'll tell you. Yep. You're not far behind. That is for sure. So how do you work your pricing on this? Can you get it with meal, without meals? How does that work, Cass?
Yeah, so most of the groups that stay on campus are going to have some type of meals, and our dining services and Memorial Union staff we'll help them customize that to, on a given day, do they need three meals, two meals, one meal? So like the women's basketball, the team camp that was just here, because of their schedule, they just had breakfast. They had multiple meals the earlier days, but yesterday, given the competition, they only had breakfast as part of theirs. In terms of the housing part, we have a nightly rate for whether you're doing double or single occupancy. And then we also have, there's a couple of groups that are here for a week or more, and we have a weekly rate for them. And then meals, it depends on breakfast, lunch, dinner, and how many of those meals the group's going to use.
I tell you what, Cass, I think a lot of people would think about these particular activities. Unbound, we've been focusing on, but you look at, you know, the Future Teachers Academy, TRIO, cheer, dance camps, whatever you have on campus, and they probably think of your role basically as just lining up what's essentially the rooms themselves and the dorm space, and that's it. But clearly, there's a kind of an interagency partnership and connectedness that's making sure that all these different summer activities are successful.
Yes, and that's, you know, I'm going to try, you know, it's in quite an Oscar speech, but I'm going to try to remember some of those different groups. You know, obviously, some of our camps and groups have an academic focus, and so we have academic partners that are really lining up some of that kind of cognitive development experience for the camps. We obviously work with athletics a lot. A lot of our groups that come in are coming for different athletic camps that the coaches host or sponsor. We have leadership. So STUCO is one of our larger groups, and they come mid, late July. So we really work with Keisha and their staff to support that. And I'm horrible. I hope I never win an Oscar because I'm going to miss a lot of people. But
well, it sounds like, Cass, you're staying very busy with all of this, and I would assume budgetarily this is pretty good for the university.
It is, and I'm going to use this as my opportunity to, you know, Eric Church said if I could kill a word, and busy is the word that I would want to kill, because for me, busy, there's kind of this sense that there's not a purpose. I go back to teaching and being a student and, you know, busy work, and we are. But there's a lot of strategy and purpose behind what we do, and so I would say that, yes, we are quite active. And the budget part of it, Ron, you know, it helps us to support the work that we do during the school year, but a lot of it also goes right back into the summer experience of the campers and the guests that we have staying with us. So, and please don't take this as a lecture. This is kind of a quiet personal mission that, you know, we throw around the word busy a lot, and I'd like to think that we can have a purpose behind the things that we're doing in our lives.
That's great. Well said. Cass, what is up next here, really, between now and when the fall semester gets rolling here in mid-August for you?
Oh, yeah. So we assignments went out to students the first round earlier this week. Move in. I'll kind of skip ahead. For our new students, is Thursday, August 18th. So I would advise the community to avoid Walmart, Dillon's, you know, all the different spots on Thursday, August 18th. Or if you're going to go on that day, go early in the morning.
Or late at night, one of the two.
Yeah, or maybe late at night, yes. You know, and so between now and then, there's a few key pieces. So in July, we'll send out, a really cool snail mail piece to all of our residents that are coming in and give them some real key information about things to think about before they arrive to campus and things to talk about with their roommate so that experience can be a really positive and impactful. There's a lot of little levers we'll be pulling, and obviously there's the facility piece where we'll get in and really make sure that the rooms and buildings are in tip-top shape come August 18th.
So when the fall semester begins, you're looking at pretty full residence halls then, Cass?
Oh, that's, you know, so we're pretty excited about where we're going to be. We'll see how the rest of the summer plays out, and I'll get back to you in whatever our 20th day is.
Okay, we'll hold you to that.
So what? One time I got my hand smacked a little bit for giving out numbers too soon, and so I learned my lesson.
Are we back then, Cass, at least the way it appears now, to the regular Hornet move-in flow, I guess the pre-pandemic flow operations? Is that what you're planning for now, or are we kind of in the COVID-19 adjustments from the last couple of years?
That's a great question, Chuck. You know, so there's some really good things that we've learned, things that we can do better for our move-in process, and we're going to keep doing those. We implement them because of COVID, and, you know, after the first year, we all kind of looked at each other like, why did we start doing that sooner? You know, and so necessity is the mother of all invention, or some anyway. And so we'll keep some of those things that really made the experience even better for our students and their families and our staff. But yes, in terms of we are going to return to having Hornet helpers, which we're really excited about that. And I think some of our groups are, you know, they've, the couple of years we've had to suspend that, there are definitely some groups that were disappointed and we're still like, but can we really, like, please, can we really want to do this? So that's probably the main thing that we're really excited to bring back in terms of the, you know, before COVID approach toward moving, is to have the Hornet helpers be there to greet and help move and push carts around. So, yeah, it's, we're excited and we're ready.
Great information and insight, as always, from Cass Coughlin, Director of Residential Life, Emporia State. Before we let you go, Cass, I just have to ask you, is the elevator functioning in the North Tower? Are we good there?
It is, yes. They had way too many people, and I'm just another institution. Unfortunately, I was part of the elevator situation that didn't go so well, and so I'm just very grateful that the safety measures kicked in. And all that it was that those individuals were stuck inside the elevator for a little bit, and kudos to our police and safety and Emporia Fire for getting there and getting them out. And again, nobody was injured or hurt. The equipment worked the way it should. So yeah, hopefully it's a lesson to learn. You know, here in Kansas, we don't have a whole lot of elevators, and so we're not always as familiar with them as we should be. But yes, they're, elevators are back to functioning, and we're ready for the next round of guests.
Yeah, they had just too many in the elevator about a week ago, and it got stuck. It didn't go very far before it got stuck.
And so, yeah, I don't think it moved at all.
Okay. We were told 3 feet, but that's not much.
yeah, the safety measures kicked in and said, "Nope, this is okay. We're overweight." So.
Well, Cass, great job as always. Always good to talk to you.
Same, Ron, Chuck. Appreciate. This was on my list of talking points. So this is part of my Oscar speech, but I just wanted to say on behalf of the community, thank you, both of you and the team there at KVOE for keeping us all the hours and, you know, severe weather and, you know, when it pops up, keeping us safe and informed. It's really a service and I appreciate it greatly.
Cass, that means a lot. Really appreciate what you said. So that means we're doing it right.
Have a good day, Cass.
You are. Thanks. Take care, guys.
All right. That's Cass Coughlin, Director of Residential Life at Emporia State University, with us on the ESU Buzz, brought to you by Emporia State University, hands-on learning that prepares students for successful careers. Discover the possibilities at emporia.edu. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, ESFCU, the educated choice with two convenient Emporia locations. KVOE Live and Local, good morning, it's 8:43.
The Uvalde School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo.